Good morning, everyone. It is very nice to be here on this second Sunday as a camp survivor. We survived many things over this last week. We survived being shut in air conditioning for 5 days. We survived being fed too much, too often. And we survived the ferry trip home again. In fact, it was so nice to be bounced about from side to side that I fell asleep. I was like a baby in a cradle. And we had a blessed week. And I can look down over many and see many faces. And I can see you as a camper survivor today. We trust that God will draw near and help us this morning. Thank you for coming to this early hour. And friends and family, on this Gospel Sunday, we are praying much that the Lord in His goodness will bless you and lead you to a simple personal faith in our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Joshua, for leading the service and for reading the verses here from Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. And we will be coming on these verses to preach the word. Now, the task of a preacher is to give the sense of the text. And we are coming to what our Lord Jesus said. And these are all the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, we have to be careful that people don't think that just because Jesus said it, that it's more inspired or more authoritative than what Paul the Apostle said. If it's written in Scripture, we know that all Scripture is inspired. However, I think our faith is fixed on our Lord. Fixed on His grace and His work and, of course, on His teaching. And we come, therefore, to the very words that have come from the lips and from the heart of our Savior. May the Lord open them up to us and help us in our preaching today. Please stand and let us ask the Lord to draw near and minister to our souls. Our Father in heaven, we come today pleading your nearness and your grace to our souls. Thank you for your people. Thank you for every believer in this gathering. Thank you for the miracle of salvation and for the wondrous life and peace that the Lord Jesus brings into our souls. We pray that you will speak to every heart. Thank you for friends, family, and visitors. And we pray that you will have a very special word for those that are yet outside of Christ, outside the fold. They are not yet one of the Lord's sheep. They are wandering and seeking, perhaps. But oh, that today they would be drawn into thy fold. And we pray, Lord, for grace to hear the word. And I pray for an unction and utterance to preach the word. Oh, come, touch these lips of mine, I pray. Give an unction, give a boldness, and may we speak in the name of our Lord Jesus as His ambassador. We ask that you will minister to us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Allow me to read again these verses where the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I think, in the words of Dr. J.C. Ryle, these words should be written in gold. They are so precious, so valuable, and so powerful to bring a troubled heart into the deepest and the most eternal rest possible. We live in a very troubled world. I don't need to rehearse the things that have been on the news this week. The Mediterranean is shut down for air flights. People are displaced in their millions and homeless. In Africa, there is hunger, thirst, political turmoil, and spiritual darkness, persecution of Christians. This is a troubled world. And in the world where we live, we would have thought that by the 21st century, that man could do much better than this. And yet, as our Lord Jesus said, that until the end of the world, we will suffer these things. Now, perhaps there is trouble in your life. Maybe this week you got that phone call that you never wanted. Maybe you received the news that has shattered your future. Your life is turned upside down. And we come today to a Christian church. We come to a gospel church. And this is Gospel Sunday. And we have, therefore, a message. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into a troubled world. Remember that all the children of his generation in those first few years were murdered by a dictator who hated the Lord Jesus. And our Lord went into hiding. And then he went to the city of Nazareth to live. And he faced a very hostile world when he ministered and brought the gospel. Now, when our Lord ministered, he looked out and he saw the people as sheep scattered without a shepherd. Now, we know that's an analogy. People are referred to as sheep. But when sheep scatter, you know that they're under attack. Sheep love to congregate and be together. And so when they're going in different directions, you know that they are in deep trouble. And here the Lord Jesus speaks to cities and people in Chorazin, even Capernaum, and he brings this message, this wonderful promise. And I think it's one of the deepest, most precious promise that you could ever imagine. And you'll notice that it's not a promise of riches or pleasure, but of rest for your soul. And this is the wonder of it. Now, travel companies can promise you a vacation, a luxury cruise, a getaway from it all, but all the while, the physical problems remain. But here, the Lord Jesus, he says, ye shall find rest for your souls. Please note the certainty of this. Jesus did not give an empty promise. He did not speak merely just to tickle ears and give them a fanciful idea. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He invited the people to come directly to him. Now, to help them understand what Jesus would do for them, he used a wonderful analogy from farming. A yoke between oxen, and he talked about being yoked to him. And we want to take up this great promise, this analogy of a yoke, and see how this Lord Jesus can truly give you in the depths of your heart true rest. Rest that will bring the greatest peace to your soul. And so firstly, we learn that Jesus can give you rest because of his Father's authority behind the promise. If you look at verse 27, he says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." Now, if I was to say to you today, "Come to me and I will give you rest," you say, "You're just a man. Who are you to give such a promise and to offer such rest? Because I'm just the son of Adam. I'm a weakling. I have no might, no authority." But here is Jesus, the Son of God, and he says, "My Father," and he refers to the God of creation as his Father. And truly he was the Son of God, the one who was equal with the Father, the second person of the Trinity. And in the plan of redemption, God the Father sent his only beloved Son into the world to be the Savior of men. And so Jesus could say, "Come unto me. All things are delivered unto me of my Father." And of course, the Lord Jesus reveled in his Father. How much delight he took in his Father. He delighted in his glory, and of course, he was his eternal Son. Now, Christ also reveals the Father. If you look at that verse 27 again, "Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom soever the Son will reveal him." And so the Lord Jesus reveals the Father. And the Bible says that he is the express image of the Father. We always take great delight when we see the likeness of a son to a father. A little boy exceeding just the characteristics, not only the appearance and the physical form, but you can see the way he walks, just like his dad. You can see how he talks, he imitates his dad. There is so many corollaries between the son and the father. Now, can you imagine the Lord Jesus coming into this world, taking our form? But he is the true Son of the Father, and his work, his purpose, is to reveal the Father. And so he is that mirror image. And while we do not see the Father, because he does not have a body, we look at the Son, and we see in him a mirror image of the Father. We see his power. We see his authority. We see his sinlessness. We see his supernatural miracles and how he can overcome. And what blessedness is in the Lord Jesus. And we're told here that all things are delivered unto Jesus of the Father. In other words, Jesus is the funnel that every benefit and every blessing the Father has for his children, they are funneled and channeled through the Lord Jesus into your life. That's the will of the Father. He has appointed him to be the mediator, or in business terms, the broker. And it is through the Lord Jesus that everything transpires. Every good thing, every gift, every blessing, every help, every salvation, every peace that comes into your heart is channeled through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has anointed him and appointed him and given him all authority in heaven and in earth to be the Savior of men. And so Jesus could rightly say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Because that was his office and his work given him by the Father. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus and trust in him, you honor the Father. There's no competition between them. There's no contest. Jesus is sent to reveal the Father, to be the one who brings the blessings of the Father into your life and into your soul. And so with all true truth, Jesus could say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And it is him. And indeed, he is the only one that can give you rest. And indeed, he could say in John 14:6, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is why Christians teach this, because it's in the Bible, because the Lord Jesus himself taught it, and because it agrees with the will of God. And so you need to take this into your life, into mind, that to be a Christian is to have the Savior whom the Father hath sent. Now also, we are to go to the Lord Jesus because he reconciles us to the Father. And we are given every blessing through him. Now reconciliation is really the result of Jesus' perfect life and his atoning death. The work of reconciling means two parties that are as enemies. And by nature, sinners, sons of Adam, are at war with God. Enemies, aliens, rebellious to God, and have come under God's displeasure and wrath. And so there is a great gulf between your soul and a holy God. But the Lord Jesus is the reconciler, and he has come to live, to die, and to bring about oneness between your soul and the God of heaven. And that's his work. We call it atonement. It simply means at one meant. Now that's the result of his perfect life and atoning death. Because Jesus went all the way to the cross and God demanded a sacrifice. If you are going to be saved and if you're going to be reconciled to God, God is holy. He cannot just overlook your sin. And so the Lord Jesus went to the cross as a sin bearer, and he died on that tree to pour out himself, an offering to the Father. And the Father received the payment offered by the Lord Jesus, so that you, though a sinner at a distance and rebellious, you may be reconciled. And to receive that reconciliation, what are you to do? Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. That rebellion will be gone. That estrangement will be gone. And you will be at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm guilty of not using the Bible very much, aren't I? You might be asking, that all sounds nice, but where is it in the Bible? Well, let's look at a verse, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and the verse 1. Therefore, now that means the whole story of Abraham, David in chapter 4 is coming. And we know that Abraham was saved by God. Although he lived in Ur of the Chaldees, he was a sinner, a Chaldean, an idolater. And God called him out of idolatry. And Abram walked by faith. Then we read also in chapter 4 of David. And David, you remember, was the king of Israel, but sinned, and yet he was justified by faith. And we're told here in chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How does this come? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so everything I've just said about Jesus with authority to invite us to come to him is right here, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified, we have peace with God through. There's no other name under heaven given among men, no other Redeemer, no other Savior. Christianity is, yes, very exclusivist. There is no other Redeemer, no other Savior, but the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can give you this soul rest. Now, there's a wonderful illustration in the life of Joseph. You remember Joseph, the youngest son of Jacob, and how he was sent down into Egypt, and he had a dream that there was going to be 7 years of plenty, lots of grain, big harvests, and then there would be 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh wanted to know the meaning of the dreams. And so Joseph was able to tell him, there are going to be these 7 years of wonderful harvests, and you need to gather in all the grain, all the crops, and gather them in to prepare for the famine. And so as the years went by, and the famine came, the barns were full of grain. And when the people cried out to Pharaoh, give us bread. There's just one instruction that Pharaoh gave. He said, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. He's the one who has the keys to the barns to give you grain for bread. And the Father in heaven says to you today, go to Jesus. You see, in this life there may be good things, but you're going to come to a place where you need true bread, the bread of life, the bread of assurance that you are right with God and going to heaven. And when you are hungry for that bread, then the Father says, go to Jesus. That's the person you need. And that's why Christians are believers and trust their all in the sufficiency that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another reason is because Jesus gives soul rest. This is why he is the one who saves us. We've already learned that it is rest for our souls. But do we grasp what that really means? Do we understand it? What does this rest look like? And I'm saying this because you might be on the outside. You might be a neighbor to a Christian. You might have come into contact with a Christian, and you have learned what makes him or her tick. Why do they keep talking about their life of faith in the Bible and in the Lord Jesus? How come they get so excited and so joyful about the Lord Jesus? And how did this happen that they came into this blessing, this soul rest? Well, in these few verses, The Lord gave this analogy of the oxen working. And the language the Lord uses, he says in these verses, take my yoke upon you. And in the farm, the ox would pull the plow or pull the cart. And when two oxen labored together, then they needed a frame that was right across the front of their breasts so that they would be yoked to pull evenly, so that one would not get ahead and one would not fall behind. They must be in sync. They must be in equal pulling. And they would go right down the furrow to pull the plow, or they would pull the cart up the hill. And this wooden yoke would mean they were actually pushing the yoke to pull the plow or the cart. And so it was a harness that united two oxen together. And when the Lord Jesus said, be yoked to me, well, he was saying, I am like that large ox, and you are like maybe the little calf, weaker, much weaker, and we will be yoked, joined together, and we will bear the burdens, and I will carry you along in your life, and you will no longer be overburdened. You will no longer be left alone to the tasks and the cares and the needs of life or of death or of judgment. Jesus will be joined to you, and he will be with you, in union with you, forever. Both now, in this world, in death, and even as you stand at the judgment day, you will not stand alone. Now that means that we come under his gospel work. All that the Lord Jesus has done for us in his perfect life and in his sufferings on the cross, that yoke, that work, that victory is yours. His victory, his strength, his power is now shared with you, and you labor in his victory. And that means you place yourself in step with all the purposes of the Lord. Christians don't argue with the Lord Jesus. We bow the knee. We say, yes, Lord. He is our captain, our commander. He's Lord of our lives. And we submit to his will. And if he tells us to walk in the will of God, we take delight in that. And the Lord, by his strength, bears the burden, carries the load, and enables us to do the will of God. And it means you will never be left alone in this world. What a wonderful message to the bereaved and the sorrowing, and how tragic when earthly ties are broken and that mother, father is gone, or perhaps a spouse, a husband or a wife that you enjoyed the company of for so many years, and now that tie is broken and you feel so alone. The Lord Jesus marvelously says, come unto me and I will give you rest. It is rest forever. It will be unbroken. The union between the Lord Jesus and his people is an eternal union. And it's based on the eternal covenant of grace. It's based on God's decree. God has elected, chosen his people to be united to the Lord Jesus. And when we, as the Bible says, are in Christ, united to Him, we're never alone. He's always with us. You know that promise, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5, and I think Mr. Spurgeon pointed out that there are five negatives in the one promise. I'll never, nope, never forsake you. Now, Christians delight in this. This is what strengthens us in the cares and struggles of life. This is what makes us overcomers to do things that in human strength alone we could never accomplish. But in Jesus' strength, yoked to Him, we have a strength and a power that is beyond human strength. Now, we are to be yoked to the Lord Jesus because all men are servants of somebody. If you are not to be yoked to the Lord Jesus to be His servant, then you will serve somebody or something. Do you remember when the children of Israel cried out, "Give us a king that we might be like the other nations"? And Samuel warned them, and he said, "Do not do this. If you ask for a king, he will take from you." And in 1 Samuel 8, there's a whole list, and I'll just rush through them. And Samuel said to the people, "He will take your sons, he will take your daughters, he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, he will take a tenth of your seed, he will take your men servants and your maid servants, he will take the tenth of your sheep." And he pointed out that if you become under the authority of a king, the king of Israel, he will be like a dictator that will take and take and take from your life. And that's just what the devil does. And if you are not united and yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be under the yoke of darkness. Sin will be your slave master. And you will be under a yoke that is so heavy and so burdensome that the powers of darkness will take from you and take from you. What does Satan ever give but misery and wretchedness and brokenness? Jesus came into the world to give life and to give life evermore. And so a Christian makes a choice. We have decided to be yoked, to be united to the Lord Jesus and be under His control and to be under His grace. Those who reject the gospel, they choose deliberately to be under darkness, to be under the control of the God of this world. Do you notice in these verses how light the burden of Jesus is? He said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Did you ever meet someone who regretted becoming a Christian? Did you ever meet someone and says, "The burden is too heavy for me"? No. There are no regrets among those who become Christians. Now, there are some times when we lose our strength of faith and we feel weak and we feel upset or moody. But the Lord gives us faith. And faith is the very thing that unites us to our Lord. And as we look unto Jesus and as we trust in Him, well, we find that Jesus gives us a yoke that is so light and easy. Many have the notion that to be a Christian is to be under a very heavy burden. And you know, I think the Lord was trying to counter that attitude in these words, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The yoke of the Pharisees was legalism. It was a bunch of man-made commandments, and they kept adding to them more and more. Do this and do this, and when you've done that, you've still more to do. That's the religion of men. That's the religion outside of Christ. And my friend, unless you become a Christian and give your heart to the Lord Jesus, you will carry a terrible burden. You will have no friend in time of need. You will have no ambassador before the throne of God. You will be all alone in the hour of death. We read together Psalm 23. That is to those who are Jesus' sheep. He's our shepherd. And for the Christian, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. But if you are not a Christian, if you are not yoked to the Lord Jesus, you cannot say that. Yea, though I walk, you walk through a terrible valley of darkness without a Savior. And how will you do on the judgment day? How will you stand before God and give account of your words and deeds without a Savior? What will your argument be? I didn't need a Savior. I didn't need the Son of God. I chose not to become a Christian because I had no need. Well, at the judgment, what need you will have then? And you will be under the condemnation and the wrath of God. I read in the Bible that every time someone came to the Lord Jesus, he received them. Remember the blind beggars on the roadside? They were shouting, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, shh, don't disturb the master. And Jesus said, bid them come to me. Bid them come to me. Little children, the disciples said, don't trouble the master. Suffer the little children and let them come unto me. Every person who came to Jesus was received. The woman at the well, the woman taken in adultery, those that were sinful and vile, everyone, Jesus offered them peace. He said to that woman, go, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And he will say that to you today, because you need power over sin. And you will do so in his strength, united to him. So he not only tells you to go in peace, but go in my strength. And I will make my victory to be your victory. Now we come to another reason here. And please understand that I'm not just saying things off just randomly. I'm building a case. I'm trying to lay out why it's true that you can say, Jesus could say, come unto me and I will give you rest. Why, that's not wrong, but it's proper. And Jesus gives us rest because of his unconditional invitation. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, all may come. No one is excluded. And they were to come all who were laboring and sensed their burden. And they were to come with that burden, under the burden of sin and guilt and everything that hindered them. Jesus says, bring not only yourself, but bring your burden. Come, don't have to fix yourself or cure yourself or change yourself. I know drug addiction centers, and they tell the person, when you're clean for 3 days, come back. We'll try and help you. And they can't do it. They can't give up the addiction. But Jesus never did that. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden. Bring those burdens. How could he say that? Because Jesus is himself the burden bearer. He is the one who has almighty strength. And yoked to him, your burden becomes light and his yoke is easy. Do you get it? Do you see the wonderful picture that the Lord Jesus paints for you today? And you're to come with all your fears, come with all your failures. And you might say, I'm not worthy, but come unworthy. Come with your heartaches. You might say, sin has torn me apart and destroyed me. Come as you are, a sinner to Jesus. His body, of course, is supernatural. And his blood is sin-destroying blood. And it satisfies the justice of God. And when you are yoked to the Lord Jesus, all is well. You are at rest. Now, there's another point I want to show something here, right in the middle of verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for, and the Lord's given you a reason, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Did you know that this is the only time in the Gospels where Jesus spoke of his own heart? His own heart. Now, he exposed other people's hearts, and he talked of their spiritual needs. But here the Lord is pointing to his heart. And his heart is meek and lowly. He's not a hard taskmaster. He is the friend of sinners. And he will receive you, and he will do you good. And so never say that the Christian life is hard. Never say that to be a follower of Jesus brings hardship in this world. Because praise God, today here we are out of hell. We're outside of hell, which we deserved. And the Christian can say, I will never be in hell. Jesus bore all the wrath of God for me. He took all the punishment for me. I am free from the burden of sin and guilt. I stand before God yoked to Jesus. And he is my claim for heaven. He is my righteousness. He is my standing before God. So are you burdened by sin and failure today? Here is a very wonderful Savior for you. And he says, come unto me, come unto me. In this text, you see what you must do. Come unto me. You come with all your burden, and you say, yes, Lord, I will be yoked to you. I will make you my Savior. I will take your cross, and I will follow you. I will be joined to the Lord Jesus as my way of living and my way of dying and my way of entering glory, united to Jesus. And what a confidence, what hope that builds into our hearts. And then we can say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Therefore today I bid you in Jesus' name, as an ambassador of Christ, I bid you in his name, come to him. Do not remain an unbeliever, a rejecter, but come. Come, trust. Bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. He will save you. He will save you now. And if you will come this morning, would you perhaps just remain in your seat while others go out? And someone will come and talk to you and say to you, we can open the Bible and pray together and help you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you do that this morning and say, I want to be a Christian. I want to be united with the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of setting forth the claims of our Lord Jesus, the promises of our Lord Jesus, and of His tender mercies. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for each one here today who is united to Thee. Thank You for the power of Calvary that washes our sins away. Now I pray, blessed Holy Spirit, that while the voice of man is silent, that Thou wilt speak on. Touch the hearts and call souls unto faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hear our cry. In the name of our Lord Jesus we pray. Amen.